And then robotic milking became an area that I spent a lot of time, multiple students working on it over the years. It's a way of milking cows, but it also is a way we get a lot of data, about every cow. So the beauty of technologies like these is that cows are in the group. So they're living their lives in a group of animals, but we have individual information, which is really cool. We have individual data to understand their health and, you know, repro, making decisions on which animals we keep, which animals we sell. There's a lot of things you can use data for.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost gut health, performance, and profitability with Digestrome Prime, a phytogenic feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime.
With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, SmaxTech future-proofs your dairy operation. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com.
Lalamond Animal Nutrition, partnering in microbial solutions for a changing world.
All right, welcome everyone to this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show. I'm your host for today, Gail Carpenter. I'm joined today, I'm very excited for today's guest. Dr. Marcia Endres is a professor, extension dairy specialist, and the director of graduate studies in the Department of Animal Science at the University of Minnesota. Her research team has studied how various housing and management systems can influence health, welfare, and performance of dairy cattle. In the last 15-ish years, Dr. Endres and her team have also conducted research and outreach on precision dairy technologies, including robotic milking systems, automated milk feeders, and individual cow behavior sensors. They've published numerous peer-reviewed research articles, abstracts, proceedings, and popular press articles, in addition to 7 book chapters. Dr. Endres was the editor of the 2021 international book, Understanding the Behavior and Improving the Welfare of Dairy Cattle. She has taught the Dairy Herd Management course and has coached the University of Minnesota Dairy Challenge teams for many years. Dr. Endres serves as a director on the PAACO, Professional Animal Auditor Certification Organization Board, which is the national organization that certifies animal welfare audits and auditors, and has served as the president of the Dairy Cattle Welfare Council. In addition, she has chaired the U.S. and International Precision Dairy Conferences and serves as a chair of the International Precision Dairy Farming Association Board of Directors. And Marcia was on my master's committee when I was at the University of Minnesota. So we have known each other for a while. Marcia, this is a fun fact, is the only coach that has been at every Dairy Challenge contest to date. And I told her that means she can't retire. So so I was really excited to talk to you today just because, like, I am always excited to talk to you, Marcia. But we actually, in my dairy herd management class, we just wrapped up our precision dairy unit. So I've been thinking about precision technology as well. I took some students on some robotic farm tours. You're one of the first people I think about when I think about precision technology. What got you interested in this in the first place? And what has that journey looked like for you? Because this has been, what, 15 plus years of precision technology. And we think back to technology 15 years ago versus today, that's like night and day. So you're kind of like on the forefront of all of these changes that we've been seeing.
Thank you very much, Gail. Thank you for having me today. It's a pleasure talking with you. Like you said, we have a nice history together. You went to school here, and it's very great to have you as a sibling to Marcia Stern's lab, if you will. We're both Marcia Stern's and my students too, which is kind of cool. A lot of fun facts about us. We're both on the Forest State Planning Committee and Forest State Conference coming up in June, so it's always fun to work together. So precision technology, I started early on because I got the producers in Minnesota. Or, you know, I started nutrition. That was my background initially. But then the producers here were saying, I need to know more about cow comfort. I need to know more about, you know, cow behavior, et cetera. So at the get-go, I got my very first things were the ICE robotics had a sensor that measured, you know, line time, steps in cows. So I was one of the first to purchase those, this company in Scotland. I suppose not to name names. But anyway, that was one of the very first sensors. At the time, they cost a lot of money, Gail. I paid $800 each one of those. Like a little thing. I know. Wow, it's right. But then I start recording information. I thought, this is super cool. Now, we can monitor animals 24 hours a day, and we don't have to watch them. We don't have to use cameras. I did a lot of camera work too, right? Video recording for behaviors and spending a lot of hours, watching videos myself and my students. And they still have a place in research. But that got me interested in the technology. And then robotic milking came up as a topic. About 2010 was our first survey that we did with producers at the time, 25 of them here in Minnesota, Wisconsin. Why? Why are people interested now in going to robotic milking? And then robotic milking became an area that I spent a lot of time, multiple students working on it over the years. It's a way of milking cows, but it also is a way we get a lot of data, about every cow. So the beauty of technologies like these is that cows are in the group. So they're living their lives in a group of animals, but we have individual information, which is really cool. We have individual data to understand their health and repro, making decisions on which animals we keep, which animals we sell. There's a lot of things you can use data for. And that, like you mentioned a minute ago, has changed so much in the last 15 years. The accuracy of it, the technology, how well they work. I mean, leaps and bounds. Just yesterday, we have Dr. Jerome Doria from Wisconsin here giving a presentation about artificial intelligence and how that is influencing also the dairy industry. Like we have these things, right? All of us have these in public. Yeah. 15 years ago, we didn't have this basic computer in our hands, a camera, Fitbit. I mean, it does everything.
Yeah. It knows how much I sleep. It knows the quality of my sleep.
It's scary, right? And the artificial intelligence here is monitoring us, knows what we're buying practices, what we do. It's almost scary, to be honest, like sometimes. The technology that's being done for humans is being used in the dairy industry too. Like the guy, they ask accelerometers, the artificial intelligence. So I've seen this change dramatic over the last 15 years. And back in 2013 is when we host our first Precision Dairy Conference. Of course, there was a lot of technology already. We're hosting our next one in June 17, 18 here in Bloomington, Minnesota. It's a national conference. So we bring together a lot of these companies that develop technology, farmers, consultants. And every year we have a startup session and there's all these new cool things that, like some of those make it long-term, some do not. Some become part of bigger companies and the technologies are available, like computer vision, for example, right? Computer vision is growing a lot lately. So it's a way to monitor animals in a different way without the sensors. But sensors are also still used, of course, and they're very common in many farms. Even larger dairy is now putting sensors, not to name names. Large operation in Minnesota, talking with their veterinarian just recently, told me they're going to be putting in sensors. I mean, this is thousands of cows. And I said, wow. I mean, that's a big cost to that. And we're talking about a little bit earlier about costs. The costs can be done in different ways. You can buy the sensors directly or you can subscribe now. So there's different ways farmers are finding to pay for these technologies. They're not cheap, but what's the cost benefit, right? One thing, Gail, that's important to keep in mind is that the data has to be used. Right? We had all the data. We paid money for it. But if we don't use it, if the farmer can't use it, what is the benefit? So I think we as consultants, veterinarians, people working with the farmers, I think we also need to be knowledgeable to help. And companies are getting better on that too, like helping the farmers. Helping the farmers use the data. Because otherwise, what's the point?
Elevate animal performance with Berg & Schmidt Animal Nutrition, your trusted ally in excellence. Their high-quality feed ingredients like coated nutrients and fat powders provide ruminants with extra energy, boosting health, productivity, and cost efficiency. Unleash your herd's potential with Berg & Schmidt.
It can be really overwhelming too, especially if you, so how many farms have you worked with where they go from like a tie stall to a robot, right? Like they're going from something very, very basic and they're kind of skipping the parlor stage altogether and going into like all of this. And they might not have had milk meters before. They might not have had automatic takeoffs. And so that mindset shift from the very basic to all of this data all at once can get really overwhelming. Like, and where do you start? If you've never looked at this data before and you're like, oh, I can get things at the quarter level or at the cow level and all of this information, like just to think about where to go with that and what to focus on.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have some of those, of course. And I think the most successful, if you think about robotic milking, right, the most successful have been those farmers that like technology, not just the computer side of it. They have to like data and evaluating and looking at every day, you know, because the companies now create lists, attention lists. And my best farmers that I work with, they look at that at least twice a day, sometimes three times a day. And then they understand their cows and they go, yeah, this makes sense. This cow is on the top of the list. She might have mastitis. I'm going to go check her. So the people that like that, and also people that like equipment that are very handy to fix things on the farm so they can make 75, 80, 85% of the repairs themselves, because that really helps reduce the cost. But they also have a service provider nearby that's really good at training them, that is really good at providing the maintenance that's required. And if major problems happen, they're close enough to fix them quickly so you don't create a huge snowball effect of cows being piled up and not being able to be milked. And those three things are really key, I think, to success of using those kind of automation technologies that come also with a lot of data. We're very spoiled in Minnesota. We do have a dealership that's really good on that. So my farmers tend to say, wow, we're spoiled here in central Minnesota, where we have this service, where we can use the data more effectively because we know what to do with it. That makes a huge difference versus somebody that's, I don't know, let's pick a state that doesn't have a lot of dairy. I don't know. Alabama, Georgia, whatever. We don't have a lot of farms. We don't have a lot of dealerships, right? That is harder. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's harder. So yeah, learning this thing is a process. But the people that are, you know, handy and can learn quickly, they do learn. It's amazing how fast they can learn. I mean, look at us, right? We didn't grow up with this. And it's just like, we have thousands of apps. We learn things. I think it's not that difficult to learn if you're willing to learn. It concerns me a bit sometimes, though, that there's a lot of data and a lot of stuff coming at the farmers. And they're just yesterday, one of my students, they have a dairy here in Minnesota. They have a system that uses computer vision. And this system monitors the feed bunk. So make sure that the cows have access to feed, etc. And I ask him, how is your dad using this? Well, he doesn't look at it all the time because he comes on his phone. If it's just one pen, they go, okay. But if it's more than one pen, that's five pens. Okay, what's going on? We should go check it. So it became a thing that in the beginning, it helped them improve their protocols maybe, but now it's more of a maintenance thing. They do not use it all the time.
But yes.
If it's a major issue, they still like to have it and they subscribe to it. Because, okay, something's going on. I need to go and talk to my, especially if I'm traveling or something on top of that. Like, I want to see what's going on. So they become maintenance technology, if you will. Like, in the beginning, made a big difference. There's another one that monitors, using computer vision, monitors the parlor protocol. So in the very beginning, when they started using this technology, they made a lot of improvements because now they can have a meeting with the milkers and say, okay, look, this is what happened here. This is the video. This is the thing that was not done right. And this is the reason why we need to do it this way. And then things improve a lot. And then over time, not that the value of the technology goes down, but it kind of becomes more of a, I have it more of a, as a maintenance thing, that something that I'm so excited about because it made a huge change, you know, on my farm. And it does in the beginning, but then you need to stick with it. Because if you quit on it, things might go back to where they started. You know what I mean? Like just sticking with it too. It's kind of a thing that some farmers give up, if you will, because the thing's improving and they think, oh, I don't need it anymore. You still do. Like, I don't know. It's just staying with it. It's also important, I think. Staying with the technology, staying on top of it, staying on top of maintaining your robots, staying on top of cleaning them, right? Keep it up. Not just let it go, because it then... it's not going to be good technology anymore for you. And you put so much money into it, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that's something that comes up a lot when, like, every time I talk to somebody about whether that's robotics or precision tech or, you know, sensors, whatever it is, like, it's not replacing you. It's just giving you a different job. right? So instead of going out and hand milking or milking your cows in a parlor and, you know, having that daily touch point, like now you're looking at data, right? As one example, or you get like your list of sick cows in the morning from your sensor tags or whatever it is. Like it's not, you're still managing. It's just the way you're managing has shifted.
Absolutely. And
it's not a get out of jail free card.
It's not. It's not like I don't have to work anymore. It was just working differently, like you said. And I think that's something that needs to be upfront, I think, before farmers purchase a technology that's not going to be necessarily less work for you. It's going to be a different type of work. And you're going to have different type of data coming up. And it's not for everyone. You know, like for example, coming back to the conference, we usually have producer panels. So trying to get people in the panels that have a lot of technology and some of that just started, that didn't have a lot. And the question is, during the discussion, why don't you have more? And why do you have so many? You know, just kind of understanding where they're coming from is a very interesting thing that I always look forward to when we have these events. It's like learning from the producers and what has benefited them and why some gave up on something and why you do not have a lot of it. You're just starting on it. I know that dynamic thing is really kind of fun to learn and to understand. So for me, it's an exciting world because, and it keeps changing. Like the types of technologies keep changing. And like I said, the benefit, you know, how good they get over time is also improving. I'm not saying they're perfect. We don't find all cows that are sick. We find cows that are false positives. They're not actually sick, but somehow the behavior changed and it got flagged, right? We have equipment that breaks down. I'm not saying that they're just, you put it on and it's going to be foolproof and there will be no pain. There's still some pain. But I think with the technology, we can manage our herds differently and better. I was in New Zealand with a virtual fencing / rumination detection and moving cow technology. Oh my goodness. I was so amazed to watch these animals come to the parlor by themselves. We don't need that person anymore, which is kind of, in terms of labor, is kind of bad, but they eliminated one job by not having to go bring the animals into the milking shed, not having to put fences anymore. That eliminated that job. And one of the farms that I visited, they had a very steep, it was like cows had to be mountain goats almost. There was a lot of hills and the poor worker in the past had to bring, you know, the electric fence up and down. I mean, that was a big exercise.
Yeah.
And now they just don't need to do this anymore. And the manager told me, I will never work on a dairy that does not have this technology anymore. So it costs some money and we calculate how much it costs. And they said, and I told him it's a little more than an employee, but he said, yeah, it's just a little bit more than an employee per year, but I have so much better, you know, lifestyle now. My employees have such a better lifestyle now. We see the benefit of paying this little extra above the cost of an employee. And it was not a lot more actually over it. And so I was amazed to see such a positive response to adoption of a technology. I think it was the first time I've seen that to that level. And for all the farms that I visited, and this was that technology that was developed by a person that grew up on a dairy farm and saw the benefit of that. And so I was impressed. It's hard to impress me because I see so many of these things, but I was like, wow, it is for grazing, of course. So it's not for a lot of us here. It's more like for countries like New Zealand, Ireland, or for, you know, beef herds maybe here, but you know, for people that have grazing here, that would be really cool to have. So the stuff that's coming up and the ability to make things smaller because of nanotechnology too has revolutionized what we do in dairy tech. It's just like,
well, it strikes me when you first started talking about like the, you know, where precision technology has come, one of the things you mentioned was cameras, right? Like, oh, I used to have to watch all these cameras, blah blah blah, and well, now cameras are the new thing. Like, not
that's
new
true.
But like all of this stuff we have with camera technology, we've kind of gone back to maybe exploring some use of that with the, you mentioned the like the parlor and you mentioned the feed bunk as well, like with some of these new algorithms, that camera technology is cool again.
It is cool again. It's not us watching. It's the
yep,
AI.
Yep.
The AI, you know, doing it for us, which is like, oh, that's awesome. You know, like locomotion scoring, body condition scoring, all that stuff being done automatically. it's just, yeah, it's really cool, right? I mean, hopefully also will help us as we make sure these technologies are really accurate, will help us researchers to do the same thing, right? We don't have to do so much camera work ourselves. I have a student of mine, I'm on her committee. She's not my student, but I'm on her committee. It's pigs, not dairy, but they work with the system that they have in Nebraska where they developed a system. And so it looks at pigs, you know, lying down, standing, drinking, interacting with each other. But now they're trying to validate the technology to detect tail biting. So they know who, tail biting happened. And tail biting, who is the aggressor, who is receiving it. So that's part of her PhD to use that, again, done automatically. So we don't have, of course, she's watching to validate. But I mean, once it's validated, can be done automatically. So a lot of behaviors, not just in dairy, but also in swine and poultry coming up with camera. Yeah, camera vision, kind of, you know, computer vision with cameras, which is really growing a lot. And even the sensors have gotten better, right? We have now sensors that you have options in the neck. We can put them in the ear, or the, you know, like on the leg. And now, really cool too is there's more than one company probably doing that now, that you can have your list of cows that need attention, and then the ear tag or the neck collar thing can automatically sort those cows for you. So you don't have to do it yourself. And I have one farmer that's coming to our panel because the error is less than 1%. So you don't miss cows. Like the old sorting system was messed up. I remember doing a project one time with one of my students and we're trying to sort cows for our study that we're doing on lameness. And every time I've seen it, we get some extra cows that we do not need because this was not as accurate. And this farmer replaced an old sorting system with this new one using this tag from this company. And he said, it's amazing. I mean, it's just super accurate and I love it. And it separates for anything. Cows that need attention, cows that need trimming, cows that need to be dried off, or whatever it is, automatically. So they don't stay there very long. So that's really good for cow comfort and welfare, right? So technology can improve welfare, which for me is another area that I work on is welfare. And it's really very important to me that technology really works as a tool, like you said earlier, to help improve not only performance and productivity, you know, et cetera, but also welfare of animals. So it's really exciting. There are now computer vision, again, coming back to that, there's a company doing something for a particular processor. I don't want to name names, but a company that monitors animal welfare on the farm and is recording that and automatically detecting any interactions between employees and cows that's not good. And then they teach them and also detecting positive ones to just have meetings with the crew to say, this is a good thing that happened here.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. They're coming again. We'll have them on a panel to just, this is great to use for animal welfare monitoring too, and improving animal welfare more objectively instead of us having to kind of look at that. This can be used even for assessments of, you know, animal welfare assessments that like farm program kind of thing. Technology might be useful for that too, which is super cool. I mean, there's so much going on, Gail, that I cannot keep track of all that's going on. Technology to get rid of birds in the barn, that's going to be coming. I'm going to be discussing that too, that automatically AI detects the birds, like I want to detect starlings, pigeons, etc., automatically knows those birds and then sends a beam of laser right on the bird.
Shoots them with the laser.
And shoots them away. So you don't have to shoot them anymore. You don't have to. They are coming, technology coming from Taiwan to the U.S.
And that's crazy.
It's amazing. Yeah. The AI is incredible. It's just like, wow, we can do that. Huh? We can move gates automatically. Guy come from New Zealand to show that too. And I was amazed to see that. So you have, you know, the holding area, right? It's always a problem. Not always, but many farms, the workers push cows too hard. Sometimes they pile up and then you get more lameness. You get stress on the cows.
Too heavy on the crowd gate.
Too heavy, etc. So this technology, what it does, you just press the button in the beginning of milking. You have a camera with AI. It's detecting all the cows in the area. And it's keeping about at least 3 feet space from the back. So cows have space. And it moves automatically based on the number of cows in the area. So the workers don't have to push anything. The workers just are in the pit, in the parlor. Cows are moving on their own, calmly coming in. So they saw improvements in milking efficiency of 20-30%. They saw reduction in lameness of 15-20% just because they're not using that gate improperly. And that's all, again, camera and AI stuff. So It's impressive what's coming.
Natural Biologics is using cutting-edge science to deliver cost-effective solutions for the animal health and productivity challenges you face. For conventional or organic production systems, Natural Biologics can help support rumen health and immune function, mitigate pathogens, and increase production efficiency. Visit naturalbiologics.com to learn more.
That's crazy. Well, I think a lot of times we assume that we can do, like I was thinking about this while you were talking about the virtual fencing too. Like, oh, having a human there is going to make it better. But a lot of times having a human there makes it worse. And like if a virtual fence can move cows just by like how can a human being move, even the most calm animal handler, how can they move cows without wrestling up a couple, right? It makes me, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of opportunities for maybe reducing the touch points we have with cows on a farm. Sometimes it's possible to over manage, right? Like keep cows locked up for an hour so that I can do checks on all of them, right? But if then we can supplement with some of these techs and reduce some of those touch points, and ultimately cows have more time to rest. It goes back to that old idea of the time budget of the cow and letting her kind of live in some of those natural behaviors.
Yes, absolutely. And we see even like in robotic farms, right? Because we do not bring cows to the parlor 3 times a day anymore. And you go into these barns, that have robotic milking systems. The cows are so calm. They don't get up when we walk in. No, they're just not being pushed as they used to be pushed 3 times a day at a certain time. And they get used to just being relaxed. And there, a lot of research even done in Europe has shown that they're calmer actually on those barns. So because again, less of that human, we still interact with them because we go fetch them, we go and clean the stalls. So it's not like we never interact with them, but it's a different type of interaction that I think the cows might prefer. I don't know, possibly. I know that's really hard to do that kind of research, but I think cows probably feel more comfortable around us. You know, it's just we're not pushing them so hard. Every system can work, of course. I'm not saying we should all have robots, obviously, but I'm saying that we do see that cows tend to be calmer actually, even though we don't interact with them as much. I don't know. And then some people also tell me that if they some farmers tell me that if they had the automatic milk feeders plus the robots, that the cows get trained better and get used to going to a place. Yeah. I don't know, again, hard to do that research to prove that point, but I have multiple farmers tell me that, well, once I got the feeders for the calves, and then I also have cows going into the whole robot, which they also get a little, not always, but they get some feed in there. They get used to being in the box. Made it easier for me to train them. I don't know if it's true, but we hear those things, right or wrong. There are people now not putting any feeding robots, especially in guided systems, guided flow, which is kind of cool too. The cows can learn to go into the box, not because of feeding, but because they get milked in there and it's fine, which is amazing to see because it doesn't work for a free flow system, but it does work for guided flow potentially. So save some money, don't have to have, the pellets and all that. So it's just, also even the management has evolved. The management of how we use the automation, how we use technology has also changed quite a bit. So it's a evolving world, and it's continuously evolving and changing that keeps us like in our toes. Like we never learn all of it because it keeps.
Yeah.
And then you're teaching that in your class. So, too, that you're teaching it and you're bringing your students that are seeing things. I find it very interesting that you have students present or talk about a technology that they saw on the farm, or they kind of do research on it and then they talk about
it. They go research on it. Yeah. So they go out. Some of them will be like, yeah, this is a technology we use at home and we really like it. But a lot of them will go and just find like something on the internet. And yeah. So, and they just go, they research a technology and look at like the website, and usually they'll try and call up a couple people to talk about prices. And
what is that, like a short talk, or what do they present to you? Like they do a PowerPoint on it, or they do just a discussion?
I'll have them do, it's a short talk. So I call it tech talks. So they're like 3 to 5 minutes, and it's just kind of, cause I always feel like, we have all this teaching, all these modules and all this teaching to do. And just like you said, all the technologies out there, if I was as a professor to sit and go through like everything that's available out there, we'd never get it done. So it's a way for them to kind of go and explore a little bit and kind of learn a little bit more about what's out there.
That's very cool. I like it. That's very cool. We don't do that, but I think it's very interesting to do that because it gets them, that'll be the future, right? I mean, at least for a lot of them, they'll be, if they go out in the field, they're going to be exposed to these things. And I think it's important that they're aware that they exist. And of course, like I said earlier, some disappear and a new one comes that may be somewhat similar. Because, you know, anywhere that we can monitor individual animals, there's so many options too, and also monitor groups of animals now with some of the computer vision stuff. So there's a lot to learn. And some have been around a long, long time, as we know, right? There's some technology, some sensor technologies that have been around a long time and they're proven. And it's harder then for the newer companies to come into markets like ours that already have, you know, 3-4 very established companies, for example, for sensors, just as an example, right? And then you get a new sensor. What is new about it? What's different maybe about it that will entice producers to go in that direction, and how you compete with that market? It's a little tough, actually. Like I mentioned, in New Zealand, they had some other virtual fencing options in the past, but this one that's really taking off, I think, because of the benefits it's offering, additional benefits that the previous ones did not have, including its size. It's not that heavy. It has a solar power built in, so it's easier to recharge it. Very hardy in the field, waterproof, et cetera, of course. So those things are important elements that they're harder to make. It took them years to get to this type of technology and make it hardy enough for the environment, including our environment in barns, right? How do you make it hardy enough? Make it the cameras hardy enough, because, you know, they have to be cleaned. Companies argue that you only need to clean them once a year. I don't know.
Yeah. They don't know how dirty a dairy is.
I don't know. We have some cameras we bought years ago for our yard to monitor the yard. I know that we've had them for 12 years now. It's amazing that they're still working, those bullet cameras, and that we never really don't clean them very often. Of course, they're outdoors and not in a barn, but they've been through minus 40 degree weather. They've been through snow. They've been through everything, rain, you name it. And they're outside and they're still working, which this is older technology. And I was like, wow, this is amazing that the guy found this cameras for us that like still working. They're not very expensive. I was like, how did this happen? Because I know that in bars, a lot of times from my studies, you know, like the cameras didn't last that long. So yeah, even the type of cameras have improved. You know, they're sturdier, they're smaller. It's just resolution has improved. I mean, all this has improved so much in our lifetimes. I think we're of a generation that we saw a lot of transformation in terms of how technology changed in the last 20, 30 years, which is, you know, you're younger than me. Of course, you didn't see that much, but I mean, there's a lot of changes. I'm of an age that I still had computers for my thesis and everything. I didn't have to do that when I type a writer, which for those people is even more change. But, you know, looking at, like I said, things like phones and laptops and tablets and everything else, that has changed quite a bit for us, which then brings the technology also to agriculture, right? To be used in agriculture. Look at these self-propelled tractors and four-wheelers and things that, you know, they're just robotic now too. And they collect a lot of data for, you know, weed identification or soil to kind of see where, how much fertilizer you have to put here versus there. And then be very effective on that. So improving is very good for the environment. We're not wasting fertilizer. I mean, this is incredible too on the ag side. Precision ag side is very incredible what's going on. So that's just very exciting world. And I'm hoping our, like your new generation, you're training, the new generation we're training here are ready for that, because they'll be the ones really using even more of it from the get-go, right? So it's exciting. Anyway, I'll shut up because it's a fun topic.
No, I think that's a beautiful note to end on. There's a lot to look forward to. Before we move on, though, I want to give you a chance. You've mentioned it a couple times, but I want to give you a chance to talk about your Precision Dairy Conference that's coming up here next month.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Time flies. Yeah, June 17, 18. So every 2 years we have a conference. We changed the format back in 21 during the pandemic time, actually, where it became a much more, I like to say boots on the ground, industry type of conference. It's not a research conference. We bring some keynote TED Talk kind of speakers, and then we have producer panels or some consultant panels too. Very short talks. So that way we really distill down to the main points, and we have, you know, our TED Talks are 20 minutes long, and then each producer has 10 minutes. So they kind of go through technologies they're using on the farm. And then we open up for half an hour of discussion. So each session is an hour and a half long only. And then we get up, we network, we have a long coffee break. And we also have a long lunch. So we have the opportunity for networking. And in the room, we like to describe it where we provide this neutral space where many technologies come together for discussion, for learning. And it's only not quite 2 days. We start at 8 or so on the first day and then done by 3 p.m. the following day. And it's just the Hyatt Regency in Bloomington, so near the airports, Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, because some people come from all over the country. And we just make it easy. Hopefully it's 5 minutes from the airport. There's a shuttle service from the hotel. And we just have a nice time discussing all kinds of technology, kind of fun things. And if your audience is listening to this and want to join us, please join us. June 17, 18, precisiondairy.org is the website. Easy to remember, precisiondairy.org. Information is there. So thank you for allowing me to put a little plug about this.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's always, I've never had a chance to go. It always falls right in the middle of like all these other conferences, but it's on my bucket list for sure, because it sounds like it would just be one of the, it just sounds like so much fun.
It's busy June month, right? We had 4 state dairy conference that we do together. You're part of the committee too. And then we have Precision Dairy, then it's dairy science meetings. The week before our conference, there is a Precision Egg event here in Minneapolis that I was invited to speak. So there's a lot going on. Yeah. but again, we try to prioritize. This is really focusing on, like I said, the producers, the company representatives, the consultants that are interested in technology. So it's a little different audience than our first state, which is mostly the nutritionists. You know, dairy science, mostly the researchers or people doing, you know, dairy science stuff. So kind of different audiences. Hard for us, though, to be at every one of them, but different hats, different audiences.
That's right.
But anyways, it's kind of a fun event. I enjoy being there just to learn more from people, presenting or just attending to have nice discussions. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Our Yeast 40, ruminal and intestinal double modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Feed solutions that surpass expectations. Learn more about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/feed. That's schooler.com/feed.
Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face.
Your partner for extra animal performance, Berg & Schmidt Animal Nutrition.
AgriTrack, leading traction solutions for herd health. Contact us today to boost safety, comfort, and savings for your herd. Invest in the best. Who would your cows choose?
Modern solutions for modern cows with AHV. Contact us to beat biofilm-related issues in your herd.
Our Yeast 40 is a natural biotechnology from ICC, designed to boost the health and productivity of animals under challenging production systems. Our Yeast 40 performance is supported by an unique processing technology that results in a pure product containing high levels of beta-glucans, MOS, and yeast metabolites. These factors, combined, promote the ruminal and intestinal modulation, helping the animals to reach their full potential.
All right. And with that, we will go ahead and move into the three questions that we ask all of our guests. I know that you've been a guest on the show before, so you probably have answered these questions before, but maybe your answers have changed a little bit.
Or I didn't think about the answers this time. Or you,
we were chatting a little bit beforehand how it's hard to pick a favorite book. But you're allowed to list more than one if you'd like to list more than one. So, but our first question is, what is your favorite dairy related book or resource?
Book or resource. Oh my goodness. There's so much out there, right, Gail? Of course, I'll be leaning more towards any sort of books that focusing on either technology or animal welfare. So there's multiple options out there. I don't want to just put one book example. But there's some different options in terms of, I like books like that will summarize things, kind of like more of a review type, like the Dairy Herd Management, you know, like book, if you will, that has a lot of stuff that we can go to, getting a little older now. But that was a nice book that I used to have as a student, the first version of it. And then we did have a conference, a Discover conference a few years back, where there's a Dairy Herd Management book a lot of information about different areas related to herd management, which is an area I work on. So I like that book, for example, and then the different, like I said, animal welfare, recent books published on cattle that I like to have as reference. And in terms of a book that's not, can I move on to the book not in dairy?
That's the second question. You're jumping ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, because I cannot narrow down to one book because I don't want to put anybody in the spot.
You just love them all.
Yes, I do. Anything related to dairy technology, dairy welfare, dairy management, those are my favorite ones.
Yes, yes. So your favorite non-dairy related book is?
Well, it's not necessarily my only my favorite again, but it's one that recently was suggested by a colleague here, and it's called The Light Eaters. So it's a book from, what's the name of the one? Zoe Schrangler. Anyway, a colleague suggested, and it's about plants. Probably unknown fact, I love animals, but I also love plants. So because I love plants, I thought, this is cool. And I love fungi too. No, fungi is fantastic. You know, there's also the fantastic fungi movie and everything. I love the fungi stuff. But anyway, so this book is about the light eaters. And then there is the relationships between the light eaters and the fungi in this book. She is a reporter. She used to work for, I can't remember which publication now. And she was kind of getting tired of that stuff. And it was too negative, you know, during the pandemic time, et cetera. So she decided to go all over the world and talk with researchers that are working on plants, how plants communicate, how plants use light, basically. It's fascinating to learn that the plants talk to each other through their root systems, which are very connected, and also through the air, potentially. They actually supposedly can hear things, which, I mean, it's a bit strange. But so they, one example was about the animals that are eating plants in Africa and kind of eating them up so much that they start dying. And then they communicate with each other so that they create a product, like a substance in them that makes them less appetizing to those animals, so they stop eating them. But then the giraffes learned that if they go in a different direction of the wind, so the plants didn't have time to communicate via the wind, they can still eat the plant because the plant does not have that yet.
Oh, that's crazy.
So they figured that the plants are communicating through the air and changing very quickly their chemical composition to make them more bitter and less palatable. But the giraffes learned that if they go in the other direction, before they can communicate, they can still eat it and it's still tasting well. It was just like, this is research they did. The people actually did the research on this. And I was like, whoa, this is like almost
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very crazy. So it's an interesting book because it takes you away from the animal world, but now understanding that the plant world is a lot more intricate and a lot more complex than we thought. It makes me love plants even more because I already love plants and trees. I'm a tree hugger, you know, I really like trees. And I was like, wow, fascinating. So that's one that's recently I actually had that I find not my favorite necessarily, but interesting one, right?
But a good recommendation. Yeah. I'm going to have to check that one out. I've heard that one recommended before. So I'll have to.
You did too. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. All right. And our last question, I know you work with a lot of dairy professionals and you work with training the next generation of dairy professionals. So what do you think sets the successful dairy folks apart from the ones who are not successful?
And again, like we've been talking about this throughout this discussion, right? Being open to learning and learning the new things that are coming. We go to school, we don't learn everything. We learn, of course, important stuff. We network. Networking is really key, I think, in life and learning from other folks. So I always try to tell my students that you are, yes, you got some training here, but you continuously learn in your life and you have to be open to that. You have to open to accept that you're never going to know everything, which is good because it makes life interesting. Because if we all knew everything, it'd be boring. So we're always learning. We need to be open to that and we need to keep improving and keep acquiring more knowledge and also being able to understand the needs. For example, if you work with producers, what are their needs? How can I help them be more successful? What can I do for them that makes their lives better and the cows' lives better? Calves, of course, too. So again, just that's what I try to instill in my students, like, and be also understand that dairy is a system. Like we do very well in Dairy Challenge, right? It's a system. and you need to look at everything's interdependent. And if, you know, one thing here affects group layer and affects health. So be open to understanding all of it together. And so that broad-based training is very important.
Well, very good. I think that's a great note for us to end on. Thank you again. I really enjoyed this discussion.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So, and I hope our listeners appreciated it as well.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.